Previously on the Keys of Time.
We now have the keys that are necessary to start to systematically unveil the Bible's chronology. The first two keys revealed the divinely ordained blueprint or framework for time, which governs the progression of God's plan. Keys 1 and 2 basically say that the blueprint is a week of 7 days of 1,000 years each. The next two keys resulted in the discovery of God's redemption chronology, which exists alongside the Bible's actual chronology. Key 3 says, at the end of every Jubilee cycle of 49 actual years, God adds a special 50th year of grace. This must be a measurement in the redemption chronology. Key 4 is the principle of unreckoned time, which says that God does not count times when his people's sin causes his plan of redemption to be suspended. This is convincingly revealed by the 479 completed years recorded in 1 Kings 6:1, which are 131 years short of the actual time. Now, the total times of servitude are also 131 years. So if they are subtracted from the total time, this gives exactly 479 years. The only alternative to this solution is to force the periods in Judges and Acts 13:20, which add up to 610 years, to fit into the 479 years of 1 Kings 6:1. This involves torturing the scriptures. On the other hand, when the key of redemption chronology with its unreckoned times is accepted, there is a perfect harmony of all the stated times. Again, this requires the existence of a separate redemption chronology in which the years out of fellowship are not counted. These latter keys define how time is reckoned on the redemption chronology. They are like counting the number of days of pay owed to an employee. Weekends are not reckoned because work is suspended then, that's key 4. But bank holidays, which are like jubilees, are added as extra days, even though no work was done. Hence they are days of grace. And this corresponds to key number 3. So whereas keys 1 and 2 define the structure of time that governs the redemption chronology, keys 3 and 4 tell us how redemption time, as counted by God, relates to actual time, as counted by man. This is important because the progression of time within God's overall blueprint is according to redemption time, not actual time. We've been studying in order all the events in the great Jubilee cycle, the 490-year cycle, in the chronology of redemption that started with the dedication of Solomon's temple. Now we are ready to see an amazing proof of the correctness and accuracy of this chronology of the Bible and of the validity of the 490-year redemption cycles. We are going to see that this cycle was actually 560 years long, but that 70 of those years are unreckoned years, and therefore we get the perfect 490 years, a great Jubilee cycle. You see, if you count the total number of years from the start of this cycle, either by adding the individual years of all the different kings, or by using the longer periods that we've seen, then you get 560 years. From the start of the Great Jubilee cycle in Nisan of 1018 BC to Tishri of that year when Solomon dedicated the temple, that is half a year. And then we saw from the dedication of Solomon's temple, there was this great period of 390 years of Israel's sin, that took us up to the start of Jeremiah's ministry in 628 BC. Now, we've seen that the Temple of Solomon was dedicated right at the start of Solomon's 16th year, in 1018 BC. It was dedicated at the Feast of Tabernacles in the 7th month, and Solomon's regnal year was a Tishri year, which means that the year started in Tishri, which is the first day of the 7th month. So Solomon's temple was dedicated right at the start of Solomon's 16th year, and this is when the 390 years began. Now Solomon reigned 40 years altogether. So the remaining time from the start of his 16th year to his 40th year is 25 years. And then after Solomon came Rehoboam. And Rehoboam reigned for 17 years. And he was followed by his son Abijah, who reigned for only 3 years. He was followed by Asa, and Asa reigned much longer. He reigned for 41 years. And at this time, Jehoshaphat came to the throne. And Jehoshaphat had a sole reign of 22 years. Now at this time, something happened that was really initiated by Jehoshaphat, which was, although he was a good king, he made a grave error. And in his attempt to have unity with the northern kingdom of Israel, he started to conform to some of their wrong practices. And one of the things that happened was that when his son came to the throne, Judah changed to non-accession years, which was conforming with Israel. And this means that when Jehoshaphat's son Jehoram came to the throne, Jehoram's first year overlapped with Jehoshaphat's last year, his 22nd year. And so, in this way of reckoning the time, although it says that Jehoram reigned 8 years, actually, his first year overlapped with Jehoshaphat's last year, and so the actual time Jehoram reigned was 7 years. So we are counting it as 7 years. The same thing happened for the next king, who was Ahaziah, and we're told that Ahaziah reigned 1 year. But because they used this non-accession year system, Ahaziah's year, his first year, overlapped with Jehoram's last year. So actually, his reign did not add anything to the total reign system. Ahaziah was replaced by Athaliah, and she reigned 7 years. However, again, because of this non-accession year system, Athaliah's first year overlapped with Jehoram's 8th year as well. And so again, the first year did not add anything to the count of the reigns. So therefore, Athaliah's reign of 7 years in actual time is to be counted as 6 years. Athaliah was then replaced by Joash, and we're told that Joash reigned for 40 years. And again, because of the non-accession year system, in actual time, Joash's reign is to be reckoned as 39 years. The next king that came to the throne was Amaziah. But at this point, we saw that Judah changed back now to the accession year system. So, when we are told that Amaziah reigned 29 years, it was actually 29 years, because it's on the accession year system. When Amaziah died, his son Uzziah was very young, who was just a few years old. And because only a king of Judah could sit on the throne, it was not possible for anyone else to sit on the throne. And so there was an interregnum for 13 years, until Uzziah was old enough, until he reached the age of 16, and then he was put on the throne. And so there's an interregnum there of 13 years before Uzziah becomes king. Uzziah had a long reign. He reigned for 52 years. After Uzziah reigned for 52 years, his son Jotham took the throne. And we saw in the book of Kings that he reigned for at least 20 years. By adding up all the reigns of the kings from the dedication of Solomon's temple, there was this great period of 390 years of Israel's sin that took us up to the start of Jeremiah's ministry. The only small unknown that we met was the exact length of Jotham's reign. We determined that it was at least 20 years. However, adding up all the other reigns except Jotham's gives us 368 years, which is 22 years short of the 390 years. So Jotham reigned 22 years. After Jotham's reign, Ahaz, his son, came to the throne, and Ahaz's sole reign was 16 years. After Ahaz came Hezekiah. Hezekiah reigned for 29 years, and during the time of Hezekiah is when the northern kingdom of Israel went into captivity through Assyria. After Hezekiah, Manasseh came to the throne, and Manasseh reigned for 55 years. After Manasseh came Amon to the throne, and he reigned for 2 years. And finally, we come to the reign of King Josiah. We saw that the 390 years ends at the close of the 12th year of Josiah, because at the opening of the 13th year is when the 40 years of Judah's sin began, with the prophesying of Jeremiah, giving the final warning. And so the final entry of our total is the first 12 years of Josiah. And then there were the 40 years of Judah's sin, which took us up to 588 BC, which is the start of the period of desolations. King Josiah reigned for 31 years. Next we come to King Jehoahaz, who reigned for 3 months. Upon Josiah's death at the hands of Necho, the people made Jehoahaz king. But when Necho returned 3 months later, after fighting Babylon, he asserted his authority over Israel by deposing Jehoahaz. Many are forced to assign 1 year to Jehoahaz. But now, according to their theory, the 40 years of Jeremiah's warnings do not work. Next we come to King Jehoiakim, who reigned for 11 years. It seems that he surrendered and was put in chains in order to take him to Babylon, which was a journey of a few months. But the language implies that he never made it to Babylon, but rather he must have died en route. There must have been a short interregnum in Jerusalem, because Jehoiakim only began to reign after Jehoiakim's death. Obviously, Nebuchadnezzar did not immediately install a king in the place of the captured Jehoiakim, and Israel only appointed her next king once they heard the previous king had died. This interregnum did cross over the Tishri line, which is why this interregnum plus Jehoiachin's reign counts as 1 year in the reckoning of the total. Next we come to King Jehoiachin of Judah, who reigned 3 months and 10 days. It seems that Nebuchadnezzar did not approve of Israel's new king. Almost as soon as he was installed as king, Nebuchadnezzar came out to depose him. King Nebuchadnezzar summoned Jehoiachin and took him to Babylon, and made Zedekiah, Jehoiakim's brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. Zedekiah reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. For the 40 years of Judah's sin took us up to 588 BC, which is the start of the period of desolations. And then, of course, we have the 70 years of the desolations, which take us to 518 BC. And then we have that final period of 59.5 years that take us up to the start of Daniel's 70 weeks, which is the start of the next cycle of redemption, and that's in Nisan of 458 BC. And if you add all of those up, you will find that that is 560 years. But 70 years of this time, of course, were unreckoned, when God's people were in captivity in Babylon from 607 BC to 537 BC, when the Cyrus decree released them from that captivity to return to the land, and that marked the start of their restoration. 78 years later saw a key moment in this ongoing restoration, the decree of Artaxerxes to Ezra to restore Jerusalem, which brought this 490-year cycle to a close and opened the next one, as we see in Daniel 9:24. In his chronology of redemption, God cannot count these 70 years of captivity. So, the total length of this period is 560 years, but when you subtract off the 70 unreckoned years, you get a perfect great jubilee forgiveness cycle of 490 years. Thus, the 560 years consists of 490 forgiveness years plus 70 unreckoned years. So, we have now demonstrated the third major redemption cycle of Israel's history. So we see that it works. Everything fits perfectly into place, demonstrating the sovereignty, grace, and glory of God. We can see that God, as the Lord of time, has sovereignly planned and determined the overall course of time. As the God of grace, we see that he governs it according to his chronology of redemption, which incorporates the Jubilee principle and measures years of forgiveness, so that time is structured in great Jubilee cycles. By giving us detailed chronological information in his word about the course of history, we can reconstruct it with exactness and demonstrate its accuracy, inner harmony, consistency, and perfection, showing that all the time periods fit into a greater divine plan and design for time, thus revealing the glory of God. And Eric Walker, I'm the pastor of the Oxford Bible Church. Today I want to introduce you to what I believe is a very special book called The Keys of Time, a revelation of Bible chronology. This book will give you a thorough grounding in the exciting subject of Bible chronology, revealing the keys by which you can unlock the treasure chest of God's Word concerning its revelation of time. And so we start, you see, by looking at the major keys that will unlock this treasure chest, like the fact that all time is based on the creation week, and one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and we look into the Jubilee and how that also unlocks how God measures time. And we look at the principle of unreckoned time. And as we see the whole revelation of God in history and time fit together perfectly, we will get out of this, we'll get a revelation of the glory of God as the sovereign Lord of time, the God who is working out his purposes of grace in his perfect time, according to his redemption timetable. So through this book, God will impart to you a rich understanding of the times, giving you a fresh revelation of the special time in which we're now living near the end of the age. And it will prepare you for the momentous events that are just ahead. Because we are living in the last days, and we need to understand the times that we're living in. We need to understand God's revelation of time in the Bible. And having discovered the keys and God's framework of time, we then go through each period of history, starting from Adam to Abraham, and then from Abraham to the Exodus, and then from the Exodus to the dedication of Solomon's temple, and then the period of time leading up to the decree to restore Jerusalem by Artaxerxes, and then finally Daniel's 70 weeks that take us to the coming of the Messiah himself and his death and resurrection. We look and we show how all the pieces fit together perfectly into God's framework of time. And by the end of the book, you will know how to get the date of every event, every major event in the Bible, and how all these events fit together. And so this will enrich your understanding of the whole Bible and how it all fits together perfectly. And there are DVDs that go with this book that will enhance your study of it.